Welcome to episode 13 of Autograph Weekly.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage and Double S with Autograph Weekly.
What's going on, autograph collectors? I'm Stacey Schaefer.
And I'm Zane Savage, and you're listening to Autograph Weekly, where we will feed your autograph addiction every week until Stephen Colbert is our commander-in-chief. We want to remind you there will be a keyword hidden in today's show, so you need to listen to every single word we say. It's very important. And when you find that word, you need to post that on our Facebook wall, and you can win a prize. But we're not going to tell you what prize you can win right now. You have to wait till later in the show. That's how that works. Let's move on to the Mojo Mailbox. Stacey, what was in your mailbox this week?
All right, it was a fairly slow week. Considering the heavy of the holiday on Monday, so that didn't help. But anyway, got some decent returns. Go over a few of these here real quick. First, these first three are ones actually I got in a trade with Mike at the Autograph Network. The first one was, I think Zane got him in last week, and that was Larry Flint. And actually, that's part of my Project 2012, which is basically my most wanted list for 2012. So that knocked another one off of that. So I've gotten, I think, three people off that list already, so that's a nice start with that. Also got in Hank Chen, who is the Donkey Kong current champion right now, the champion at Donkey Kong, the arcade game. That's another one that's kind of avoided me for quite a while. I've sent to him two or three different times over the last couple years with no luck, and Mike happened to get him back, so I ended up getting one of those from him. Also got in another video game person. This is David Jaffe. This is another one, actually, that's kind of avoiding me as well. I've got two or three, at least two.
You have a lot of people avoiding you, Stacey.
I know. I don't get it.
You write your letters, be like, I want a part of your hair to put in my collection. And they're like, no, thank you.
Yeah, it's kind of goofy, some of that stuff, how that works. I guess it's the hobby. It was kind of the fun thing that we had with the Project Deja Vu that me and Mike were doing, that it was kind of nice and kind of cool to see the responses that he didn't get and the responses that I get and that I got that he didn't get and vice versa. So that was interesting, and hopefully we'll get back to doing some more of that in 2012. It kind of got put on hold for some personal and life issues, so hopefully we'll get back with that here sometime soon. But anyway, moving on with some more stuff I got in here. I'll go over quickly four of the better TTMs I got this week. Got in, a few people have gotten this back recently as well. Got in Judith Light via venue address, and she was actually Angela Bauer on Who's the Boss, so it was an awesome, nice 80s return there. Also got in our interview from a couple weeks ago. Jeff Perlman signed a couple photos for me. I got those in, so that was a nice return. Also got in Estelle Harris, who was on Seinfeld from 92 to 98. And is also the voice of Miss Potato Head in the Toy Story movie, so another cool return there. I was happy to get that back. That took quite a while. And then I got in Bob Costas today, which was awesome. I think this is the second time I've gotten him, and I got him two or three years ago, but sent a couple photos to him and got those back. And then the last thing I'll talk about that I got, I picked this up today, a signed book, actually, James Carville. I picked up at Half Price Books today for $2. I was a book-plated autograph, but still an awesome, awesome book pickup for $2, so I was real happy with that. And the final thing, a quick update on my countdown to 1,000. If you guys are interested, the magic number is down to 941 now. So what did you have in your Mojo mailbox this past week, Zane?
Well, you know, I felt like it was a bad week just going on feeling. I didn't look at the numbers. But after going through what I got, it wasn't so bad at all. I actually have quite a few, so I'm going to run through them really fast. Got Brooks and Dunn TTM, Got Bob Newhart TTM. Got Chelsea Handler TTM. Andrew Zimmern signed 3 book plates for me. And Madeline Albright signed 3 book plates for me. Now, those were all TTM. And then through a YouTuber, a great guy, he actually gave me Michael Collins, who was on the Apollo 11 trip to the moon. He was actually in the shuttle while like Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong were walking on the moon. So that's amazing. He also sent a Norman Mailer book plate, which I've been trying to get a Norman Mailer autograph forever. And if you watch my YouTube videos, I've been very frustrated because I've got several books back that were not signed that were supposed to be signed by Norman Mailer. So I finally have a Mailer for my collection. So thanks, Andre, for those, man. You rock. Then we have the auctions, which I did pretty well on this week. Betty Friedan, of course, leader of the women's rights movement. Michael Moore. I guess you could say I have a Michael Moore PC. I like Michael Moore. I agree with most of the things he stands up for. Not all.
I think it's more like an obsession.
Yeah. Well, with the books, yes. Because they're so cheap. And I'm a pretty big fan of his. So I have now 6 of the same book. It's his first book. I forget what it's called. But I have 6 signed copies of that book. And then 2 other copies of different books signed. So altogether, I have 8. And I have another one coming in the mail. So that'll make 9 signed Michael Moore books I'll have. It's sickness. I don't even know why, but yeah, I do. Then we have Mona Simpson, who is Steve Jobs' biological sister. She's an author, and I bought a signed book from her for like $5. I couldn't pass it up. And then a bigger one is Billy Dee Williams, who played Lando Calrissian on Star Wars, of course. He wrote a book with another lady, Esther something. I can't remember the name. But it's dual signed, and I got it for $10. $10! So that's
2 straight weeks of Star Wars returns. So who's it going to be next week?
Harrison Ford. Oh, I wish. Yeah, right. That'll never happen. So we didn't have any Geek Week, guys. So no Geek Week returns this week. It was a short week, like I said, because we don't have... Didn't have Monday, Martin Luther King Day. But we do have the Badass Book Buy. And what's your pick, Stacey, for your Badass Book Buy?
All right, mine, I actually already went over the James Carville I got earlier in the Mojo mailbox. So mine this week is going to be from an American chef. He's actually the host of No Reservations and the new show The Layover, none other than Anthony Bourdain. His medium raw book. Actually picked that up on eBay. Got that in today for a total of $12.49, I believe, shipped. So I was real happy to get that. It was book plated, but still a very nice, solid book return. So I was very happy with that. I think you got a book from him a couple weeks ago for like $30, wasn't it?
I paid $30. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of his, and the cheapest I could find was $30 at the time. So I dished it out. I was like, I want one for my collection, so I'm going to do it. And so it's awesome that you got one that cheap, and it's even a book plate bastard. So that's nice. Yeah, it's a nice buy you had, but I think mine beat yours. I got Betty Ford. Yes, you may know her as the First Lady of the United States. What?
Interrupting you got the me. Clinic?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, she's known for being the First Lady of the United States, wife of Gerald Ford, and she's also known for creating the Betty Ford Clinic, which all the famous celebrities go to when they have addiction problems. So I bought a signed book for $10. $10, my friends. That's the way it's done. I'm the man. All hail Zane. So there's no real contest between that. What, go ahead.
I said now you should get all the celebrities that have been to the Betty Ford Clinic to sign book plates to throw in that book.
Well, they're pretty much all assholes if they've been to the Betty Ford Clinic, so I don't think that's going to work out well. This really isn't a competition. I don't know. I guess it kind of is between me and Stacey, but there's no way for you guys to vote on it yet. There may be something involved out of it, but we just wanted to tell you the best book buys we had for each week, so that's why it's in there. But we'll see where it goes. It could evolve. All right, let's move on to the news. Stacey, what'd you get on the news front?
All right, I just got a couple of quick tidbits. It wasn't a very busy, newsworthy week again in the autograph world, but a couple things, just reminders that the postage rates and P.O. boxes do go up on the 22nd, so anybody out there who's got P.O. boxes, if you get those paid before the 22nd, you actually get it for the cheaper rate still. So, and like I said, the stamps do go up on the 22nd as well. And the other quick tidbit was just a quick Wing Flash update. Haven't heard any more stories from people getting orders, copyright notices, or refused to print out the photos. We've had a couple more people get them in this week. So hopefully, like we thought, maybe that was just a quality control issue for the first week or week and a half of the new year. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll kind of keep you updated if we see people getting stuff, keep getting stuff from them, if we keep having the copyright issue. So,
and you know what that could be? What that could be is we've scared everybody away from using Wing Flash, therefore the volume is not being purchased, and that's why nobody's getting the copyright infringements, because nobody's used them because we scared them away. Just saying, that could be it too. But it's a good sign that we haven't heard anything on the copyright front from them the last week. Maybe they're stepping away from it. Hopefully they are. Again, what we're doing is illegal if we're printing out copyrighted photos. But it helps a hobby out a lot, and really, in the long run, nobody's really getting hurt. So, my news story is kind of fun. You hockey fans may know a guy named Dustin Penner. He plays for the Los Angeles Kings. Well, he got injured recently, and the way he got injured was he was eating pancakes. I'm not kidding. He got injured eating pancakes. So a fan thought they'd be witty, and they went up to him during a game and had him sign an Aunt Jemima pancake box. And they tweeted out the picture of the signed Aunt Jemima pancake box. So there's a little news story on this, guys. I'm going to post it on the website if you want to check it out. Really funny story. I recommend it. Just kind of a weird, quirky autograph-related story that's coming out of left field. But got injured eating pancakes. And I can't even imagine how he eats pancakes. Like, what would involve so many muscle movements to injure yourself to eat a pancake? It just blows my mind. But
so that's about as good as Sammy. That was about as good as Sammy Sosa getting injured sneezing that one time.
That's true. That's true. Of course, he was on the roids. So, and I'm a Cubby fan, and I admit it. He was on the roids. That's all the news we got for today. No major news other than the price switchovers for the USPS. Let's move on to our special interview. And, guys, this one's special. Enjoy. All right, boys and girls, we have a treat for you today. We have two-time Donkey Kong World Champion featured in the documentary The King of Kong. He was recently in the films Four Christmases and Horrible Bosses. We have Steve Wiebe on the line. Say hello, Steve.
Hello. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on the air.
Oh, it's no problem, man. It's an honor to have you here. First, we're going to start out with some softball questions, some stuff about your life that people are definitely interested in. And like I said, just kind of knock them off so we can get to the autograph stuff, since this is an autograph podcast. Here we go with the first question. We all know your highest Donkey Kong score, but what is your lowest?
Lowest? That's probably the first time I ever played the game. Remember back when I was 11 years old at a pizza place, and I probably only got 100 points, I'd imagine. You know, I probably jumped the first barrel, got up the ladder, and then got hit by another barrel. I remember I didn't get past the first board. Probably 100 or 200 points, I'd imagine.
Amateur.
Yeah. It took a while to get to where I am, though.
All right, next question. How did Topps approach you about being in the 2009 Allen and Ginter baseball card set, and what was that like to actually have a baseball card made of you?
Well, I got an email from a representative at Topps and Ginter, and they just said, we'd like to have you featured on one of our cards. And I remember seeing Billy's card and thought, that'd be cool. So they went through all the paperwork, and they came over to my house, and I autographed a certain number of them, and there was a person there to witness me signing them to make sure they're authentic. And so it was pretty cool, and I never would have expected that to come out of a video game. I would have thought I would have had to been a Major League Baseball player, probably the way that I was when I was a little kid, hoping that I would get on a baseball card. But it was a total honor to be on that, so it was really cool.
So did the representative just stand there and watch? Is that what? Because I've always wondered that, like what kind of situation that would be.
Yeah, they just he gave me a couple pins. There was about 500 cards of one size and a mini size, and he just sat there, came over to my house, and witnessed me. He was sitting at my kitchen table while I signed away. It probably took about 45 minutes. So, yeah, I guess it was an easy job for him to sit there and hand me card after card. So that's the way it worked.
That's very cool. Now, how did your roles in Four Christmases and Horrible Bosses come to be?
Well, Seth Gordon directed The King of Kong, and he went on to get jobs directing Four Christmases and then Horrible Bosses. So Vince Vaughn, who starred in Four Christmases, is a fan of The King of Kong, and he had mentioned to Seth somehow that it'd be great if he could get Steve in the movie somehow. And there was a role that had no speaking part, and it was kind of fitting. And so they thought I could be that person. Name's Jim, and I was Reese Witherspoon's brother-in-law. In the movie, and in the actual script, though, Jim is supposed to be in love with football and never pays attention to his kids, like a 2-year-old kid. And so, but in the movie, they went ahead and switched it, so I'm playing Donkey Kong on the Wii. And if you've seen the movie, my wife, Kirsten Chenoweth, hands me our child, a 2-year-old, and I'm still gazing at the video monitor while she puts the baby in my lap, so that's kind of funny how they just kind of transitioned it to video games.
Definitely. Now, what about Horrible Bosses? Is that just kind of the same thing you brought you on?
Same idea. So Seth went on to direct Horrible Bosses, and he just wanted, he's kind of like mentioned I'm his kind of a lucky charm that he'd like to just see if he could get in his film. So there was an opportunity in that movie. If you blink, though, you're not going to see me. I've had a lot of people go, "Where were you?" And at the very beginning of the movie, as Jason Bateman's running in late to work, I'm the security guard sitting at the desk. So Jason flies by my desk and says hello to me. But if you're not paying close attention, you wouldn't even know that I'm even in the movie. So look for me. But
did you get to hang out with anybody on set, like any of the big stars?
Actually, the ones that were, I didn't see Jennifer Aniston or any of the, Kevin Spacey was there, and Jason Bateman and I met a little bit, but he was busy between takes. He was outside, like, on his cell phone, so we didn't have a chance to really chat. So the scene that I remember when I first arrived at the set, they were doing the one where they throw the fantasy where Jason Bateman takes Kevin Spacey and drags him out and throws him outside the window, and he dies as he falls and gets impaled down below. So that was the scene I remember them shooting, but I never got a chance to talk to Kevin Spacey or any of the other actors except a little bit to Jason.
That's a really cool experience to get to go through.
Yeah, that was a great time.
Next question, how has being a, and I mean this in a totally positive way, a nerd icon changed your life?
Well, it definitely has changed my life. So, I'll get fan mail or email requests to go to different places. So, like, people have arcades or businesses that they'll invite me to, and so that's totally opened up a lot of doors to that. And just, I'll be walking through Seattle. Occasionally I'll just get recognized and someone will say, "Hey, you're Steve." And I go, "Yeah." So it's great to meet. It doesn't happen too often, but it's just kind of cool to have that happen to you.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you, but this kind of impromptu question, while it's on top of my head, the state of arcades right now, do you see it getting any better? Do you see any revolution coming in the arcade world that could bring arcades back to the mainstream? Because I know the King of Kong actually really helped arcades, and the state of arcades, the documentary did. So do you see any changes coming that that could help that?
I don't know if there's a, if the kids, I don't, these days would go and play the classics enough to support them in a full arcade. I've been to this place in Denver that is integrated. I heard of like the barcade where they'll have, he has his owner invited me out to Denver last year. Has about 50 video games on the perimeter of his business, and it's a bar, and it was every night of the week it was people in there playing games, and he has this big Jenga set that they're 2x4s, and people play this Jenga game and have fun. So that was seemed to be working. The video games weren't the main income, of course, but I don't know if just a full-on video game arcade could exist and support itself nowadays. I don't know if that would be the case, but if they have the consoles that the kids are playing on nowadays, maybe that would be something that, I don't know if there's anything that exists.
True.
That they would go in.
Yeah, because it seems like it needs something fresh, some fresh idea to really hype up the youth of today. And the youth of today are already connected to the internet and stuff like that. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be an interesting question to ask. Let's move on to the next question and the last in this set. Do you have any plans on regaining the world title in 2012?
Yes, I hope to go after the record again. Summer, that's usually when I have the time to practice and record the game. So that's my plan, and I know they're talking about there's a Kong Off 2 event next fall that will be at Denver at the arcade that I was talking about. It's called the 1UP Arcade in Denver, and that's where they'll have all the Donkey Kong competitors at one location and trying to get the best score. And they'll have a winner for the tournament, but that'd be a possible venue where I could hopefully get the record back. But typically it would happen in the garage where you have multiple opportunities to get the score. So I do plan on getting it back. I'm hoping this summer.
The infamous garage.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the autograph questions. And Stacy, you've got the first one.
Alrighty, Steve. When was the first time you was asked for an autograph, and do you recall the situation?
I remember it was during when the documentary premiered. There was all the rounds at the festival that I was going to, and the first festival, and I think it was at in St. Louis. Wasn't quite famous. It was True Falls Festival. It's in Missouri. I can't remember the town now. But I remember after the movie, people were so fast. I remember during the movie, they were like cheering and getting into it. I was like, wow, this is captivating for the audience. And afterwards, there was a Q&A session, and I had some autographs I signed. So I remember that was the first time that I signed an autograph.
Very cool. Very cool. Next, how many autograph requests do you get on a monthly basis? This can be through the mail, email, even in person combined.
I would say initially there was a lot coming in, probably 10 in a week through mostly mail, and then a couple requests through like Facebook. They would say, "Can I send you an item and get signed or something?" Now it's probably like average one a week. You know, some item will come through or a letter. A lot of it's the pop art that people want to get signed or a game cartridge or a picture. So
I was going to say there's people that collect the sets out there, so I figured you get a lot of requests for those Topps Allen and Ginsler cards signed.
Yeah, definitely. Those are the biggest thing I get signed, and then sometimes they'll send me a marquee or something that's Donkey Kong related that I'll sign.
Cool, man. All right, Stacy, next question.
All right, do you have any autographed items yourself, and if so, what?
Yeah, one more time. I can click here.
Okay. Do you have any autographed questions? Do you have any autographed items yourself? And if so, what?
That I sell?
No. Do you have any autographed items of other people that in your in your house?
Okay. Okay. Go ahead and ask it so it's not like. Okay. Go ahead and rewrite.
Okay. Do you have any autographed items? If so, what?
Yeah, I have a picture I drew of the band Rush, and I got an opportunity to go backstage and meet Alex and Geddy. So I had them sign the picture, and then Neil wasn't available to get it signed, but they took it back, and he signed that. So I got that signed, and I remember a long time ago I had Hank Aaron sign something when I was a little kid. Some neighbor friend said, hey, yeah, you can just send some baseball players or some pieces of paper. They'll sign it or a card, and here's his address. And I go, wow, okay, I'll send something to Hank Aaron, and he sent his autograph back. So I have a couple items that I think I have some basketball shoes signed by Hersey Hawkins.
Sweet.
From an auction from when the Sonics were even in town. Now we've lost them. But they were good at one point. So I have a few things. I'm not an avid collector with cards and things, but I do have a few items.
We actually call it, when you send a letter to somebody and request an autograph, we call that a TTM in the community. It stands for through the mail. So that was your first TTM to Hank Aaron. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, cool bit.
Next question. Has the increase in form letters affected your attitude toward fan mail? Now, just to remind the fans, form letters are basically generic letters that people just insert names and what the person does into. They're not personal. What's your opinion on those?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if they did that, even though it's not really directly to me. You know, if they're not a big fan of me, but they're just a fan of collecting autographs, I don't take it personally. Like, what, you don't care about me personally? I haven't actually even noticed any of the form letters. I never even thought about people doing that. So there's probably, if I were to look back and I keep all the letters that I've gotten, so I could probably maybe recognize a few of those if I were to go back.
Yeah, I'd say you could spot a few, definitely.
Yeah, that definitely is probably a template that you would recognize, but it doesn't bother me. So
okay,
if they're big collectors, and I don't mind supporting the hobby.
Stacy, next question.
All right, what is the weirdest or strangest item you've ever signed?
Yeah, I was thinking back when I get these cards of Billy Mitchell, his Pops, and Allen Ginter card that people want me to sign. So that's probably the weirdest thing, even though it's not a weird item, but just like they want me to sign his cards. And I do, but it seems kind of weird to sign Billy's cards.
You know, send that to you now and just have you write a dirty message on the card. That would be awesome. I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I'm very nice. I don't, like, scribble off on his face or anything. I just sign it and return the card. But that's a little awkward to have to sign his card. But other than that, there's nothing strange. Or I get the cartridges of video games, pictures, the marquees that come through, so...
What about, have you ever signed, like, a stuffed animal?
Actually, I have, like a plush doll. I have signed at a couple of these events that I've been at. People come up and give me a doll or something that they'll have me sign, like a Donkey Kong, stuffed Donkey Kong or Mario.
So that, did you sign on the tag, or did you sign, like, on the fur?
Somewhere on the fur or on the plastic part of the figure.
Cool, because I'm thinking about actually sending you one of those now, because I really want some kind of plush. Like, there's a guy, the guy Norman Bridwell, who made Clifford the Big Red Dog. I sent him a giant red Clifford dog, and I still haven't seen it. I think he got offended that I wanted him to sign a stuffed animal. So I think I'm gonna send you one of those Donkey Kong things. That'd be pretty cool signed.
How long ago did you send it to the?
Oh, it's been months. I don't know. He's getting up there in age. He might have lost it. I don't know.
Yeah, but there's been a couple things that I have fallen like behind where I put the envelopes, and I find something that's like 6 months old. So hang in there; he might get back to you.
I got my fingers crossed.
And you haven't signed any of Billy's famous hot sauce?
No one's asking to sign his hot sauce. So.
Next question. Do you mind when people send multiple requests? This can be like when somebody walks up to you with 18 items and say, hey, can you sign all these? Or when somebody sends you one thing 1 week and then 2 weeks later sends you something else to sign. Does that get on your nerves, or do you find it endearing that they're sending you that many items?
Yeah, that actually doesn't bother me at all. I've had people send in one envelope about six of the cards, the Topps cards, and I don't mind doing it. I know they're probably going to send you Bella or something, but I don't know. Maybe they're going to give it to friends, so I'm not really worried about what their purpose is. It doesn't offend me if they're not.
So you're just happy to sign.
Yeah, I'm happy to sign. It doesn't happen so often where it becomes a nuisance.
Right.
It's not a big deal, so I don't have a problem.
All right, Stacey, next question.
All right, what are your thoughts on your autograph being sold, like on eBay or other places?
Yeah, I think someone told me they were on eBay, and I'm not going to police that. It would be nice if they're the person that request the autograph would keep it. I'm not going to get all bent out of shape if they sell it, or it happens to everybody who has some item that's been signed. You see them all the time being sold at places. So it's actually it doesn't bother me that they're doing it. But if they're sending me like those items that they're wanting 10 cards and they're just trying to load up So they load up their eBay auction, and that's kind of a little, I don't get mad at it, but just I'd rather them not do something like that. But.
Right, right. Totally understand that. Fine. I actually had an autograph of mine sold on eBay once, so I feel your pain, man. I feel your pain. next we have, how do you feel about collectors looking for personal information to contact you? So let's say you have a huge fan out there that saw the King of Kong, and they went on a background check website to find your address to write to you. How do you feel about that? What's your feelings? Do you think it's an invasion of privacy, or do you feel like it's flattery?
Yeah, well, that's flattery. And I don't mind if I was trying to hide. I could probably find a way of keeping my address secret. But I'm open. If you look me up in the white pages, you'll see my address, and I'm open to anybody that wants to send me anything. I'll sign it for them. I'm not offended by people. I don't feel like they're invading any privacy. So,
well, I'll tell you what. We'll put your address up on our website, and anybody who listens to this can go to our website, and they can write to you. Is that okay?
Sure, yeah. Go ahead. Okay,
we'll do that. All right, Stacey, last question.
All right, before I get to the last question, I've got a quick question to ask you here. Zane is a big Cubs fan, and I know me and you go back and forth about the Padres and Mariners for fun, but who's going to have the better record in 2012, Cubs, Padres, or Mariners?
Well, the Mariners just traded their up-and-coming pitcher for the Yankees prospect. They have a catcher, Jesus, forget his last name, Montana, or I don't know if you've heard about that trade. Yeah, Montero, Jesus Montero. And then Michael Pineda was our number two rookie last year. He made the All-Star, so we lost him. But we have another pitcher that's coming up from the draft that hopefully will be good. So I don't know if the Mariners have the offense to really – I see them probably being .500 at best. And I know the Padres are better than the Mariners on paper. I believe they are. And the Cubs – I don't remember what was their record last year.
We don't need to talk about our record last year. We got Epstein now, and it's all going to be good from here. It's just, I don't think we're going to do well this year. I'll say that. But in a couple of years, I think we'll be a force to be reckoned with, put that way.
I think Padres is probably going to have the best record out of the three of us.
I agree with that.
And I was watching Moneyball last night. I don't know if anyone still goes by that philosophy. Have you seen that movie, Moneyball?
I haven't seen it yet.
I just bought the Blu-ray the other day. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting how the general manager, Billy Beane, was using statistics to field the A's team. So I always wondered why the A's, they always had these no-name players that would be there and then they'd leave, and then you'd see another guy fill in the next year that was another no-name. And they always seemed to be doing better than the Mariners. I was like, how is this happening? What's going on? But, so it's kind of interesting that if you watch that movie, they kind of show all the GMs that were handling all the trades and everything. It's a pretty cool movie.
Well, Steve, is there anything you're up to now? Anything you want to plug, bud, that you're doing?
Just busy coaching my son's basketball team. We're 4-0. Have a pretty good team. They're sixth grade now. Busy teaching. Watching NFL football, the playoffs. And then writing music still. I have an album that I put out a couple years ago. I'm trying to I'm working on my second album, and it's, you can get that on my website. If you go to stevelevy.com, there's a link to the music there, and it's on iTunes, and I've put it up on iTunes and other amazon.com.
Very cool.
That, just hanging out with the family, vacationing, probably going to head up to New York for a midwinter break in a few weeks. Family, so
cool, man, living the life.
Yeah, just kind of hanging out, not playing much Donkey Kong as of now, but again, there'll be some time this summer that I plan to work on that record.
Well, everybody check him out at stevewiebe.com. It was an honor to have you here, Steve. You're a great guest. Thanks for answering all of our questions. You are the man. Yeah. And take it easy, bud.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Sam and Stacy. Thanks for having me on. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
All right, and the keyword is donkey. Let's move on to the Q&A. Stacy, what's the first question?
All righty, the first one is coming from Ben Martinez, and he's asking, what musician's autograph, living or dead, would you want the most? And I will hand this off to Zane first.
Oh, boy. That's a tough one because, well, when you say musician, there's a couple categories I think of. One, change the world, kind of introduced a new world idea. But on the actual music front, I have another choice. So I'm gonna go with two. First, we have John Lennon, who's, in my opinion, was revolutionary in the way he thought about the world, kind of changed the way, I don't know, kind of brought on the hippie generation, if you will, and urged him on. Then my other side of that is Johnny Cash, who I'm just obsessed with his music. Just an amazing voice. Like, you hear Johnny Cash's voice and you go, oh, that's Johnny Cash. I'd love to have a Cash autograph, and they are decently expensive, and they're kind of easy to forge, so you got to keep your eye out and make sure you're getting a real one. So those are probably my two favorites that I really wish I had. How about you?
All right, I'm going to go with two as well. The first one being the King of Pop, Michael Jackson. I think it'd just be cool to have one, withstanding all the background and backstory with him. But anyway, that would just be a cool autograph to have. And my other one would be none other than Tupac. Just been a huge, huge fan of his. He is one of the people that revolutionized the rap music scene. So it'd just be a cool piece to have. Thought I almost had a book signed by his mom the other day, but ended up getting sniped on eBay for that. But
anyway, you eBay snipers?
I know. I thought it was going to be close to at least something Tupac related, but anyway, those would be my two top two. It's kind of hard to pick. It's even hard to pick one or two, but
I bet Tupac's autograph's really rare, like super rare, like Steve Jobs rare.
Oh, I would assume. I haven't even looked.
Rare than Jobs. I doubt there's even any on eBay. Like, that's how rare they are. But.
Well, he had a couple. I don't remember if he had any books or anything out before his death. Because I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
And but we I'd will say move it's forged them. A lot too. So let's move on true. To the next question.
All right, these next two are coming from AJ Kaiser, and this is another one of these. Kind of the autograph you want question, but this one is involving presidents. As if you could have any president's autograph, that you don't have, who would it be? And I will let Zane handle this one first, because I know he's already got a handful of, he's already got a decent presidential collection.
Yeah, I got a pretty good modern presidential collection, and I may be getting my hands on a James Buchanan within the next year. We'll see. It's kind of up in the air right now. But, you know, I'd probably have to say John Adams, just because he was such a badass. I watched the HBO series based on John Adams, and that dude was, he's a crazy dude. Like, he was really a pillar in this country. You know, George Washington was, like, basically Jesus back then, but John Adams was behind the framework, pretty much doing everything. So, yeah, I'd have to go with John Adams. That'd be a pretty cool signature to have.
My choices, I mean, outside of, I mean, obviously Washington and Lincoln would be pretty epic to have, but I think I'll probably go with JFK on this. Just a lot of history behind that and all the assassination stuff in as well, so this would be a cool piece to have. So I'll go with JFK on that question. And we will move on to AJ's second question, and that is, have you ever lost multi-signed photos in the mail? If so, what was the best one you lost?
Why, now, AJ, Zane, why? Go first. Why do you have to bring up these memories? I think I actually talked about this on the podcast before, but I had a Ebbets Field 8x10 signed by Duke Snider and who was it? Duke Snider, Johnny Padres, Carl Erskine, Clint Labine, Labine, however you say it, Joe Pignatano. It was signed by a bunch of guys. And then I wrote off to Andy Pafko, and I saw the last one was Return to Sender, and he's known for kind of signing off and on, like sending stuff back if he's in a bad mood. So it's like, I'm going to be, you know, clever. I'm going to leave the return address off. That was a mistake, because it turns out the return to sender that I saw was a permanent return to sender, as in he doesn't live there anymore. So my 8x10 got sent into the good old USPS oblivion to be opened up, I don't know, 3 or 4 years from now at some sorting plant. So, yeah. That sucks. That was probably the biggest thing that I lost. But I've lost several multi-signed photos. I have a little collection of, like, NL MVP, AL MVP, NL Rookie of the Year, AL Rookie of the Year. These little cards I printed up, and I'm trying to get them signed by as many players as possible that fit that description. I've lost a few of those already. I started that project 8 months ago, so... you lose stuff. That's just the way it goes. You gotta. It's part of the game. You just have to weigh the risks when you send to somebody and say, is it worth it? So, how about you, Stacey?
Luckily, I've never really had this happen. I haven't done a whole lot of multi-sign stuff until recently, so I haven't had anything that I've sent out recently I haven't lost yet. So, probably the closest thing I can come up with was a DVD cover for the... LeBron James documentary, More Than a Game, about his high school team. I actually sent that off to Willie McGee, which is one of LeBron's teammates on that Canton, Ohio team. Got that signed like in a week and got that back, and then sent it off to their coach at the time. And I think he's still coaching. I think he's actually still coaching there. But sent that off and didn't see that for quite a while, but it actually, I think that was mid this last year that I actually ended up getting that back after about 2 years. So that was the only thing I'd come up with.
I gotta interrupt you.
I haven't done a whole lot.
I gotta interrupt you with just a totally random fact that has nothing to do with the conversation. And I know it's not the same Willie McGee, but the Willie McGee, the baseball player that played for St. Louis, back when I played baseball in high school, I had a personal trainer. My personal trainer had played professional baseball. He played for the Cardinals and the Yankees and the Tigers. And he was actually traded for Willie McGee to get Willie McGee to the Cardinals. So it was a flat-out just trade for my my personal coach for Willie McGee. So it's kind of a random thing, but kind of cool. Anyways, go on.
Nice. All right, I think that's all I had on that. So we'll move on to the next question. And this is coming from Kevin Wallace. And he was asking, I'm wondering if Wave Flash would still know photos had copyright if we've changed file names and or didn't make it so obvious, such as including movie posters, SI covers. Your thoughts? I'll let Zane handle this one first.
Probably they're going to catch you. If they're going to catch you, they're going to catch you. Probably the reason the other people got caught that we know of is they just looked through the photos and said, yeah, that's definitely copywritten. And that's why they flagged them. So I don't think changing file names or trying to be tricky about it is going to get you anywhere. Although, like I said, we haven't heard anything in the last week from any violations. So, you know, it may be over. It may just been a temporary thing that they were in trouble by somebody that said, hey, you printed these photos that were copyrighted by us. What are you going to do about it? And they put in a little thing for a week, and it was over. So hopefully that's what it is, but I don't know. You know, we can't be sure. We don't work at Wing Flash, so we can't really answer this question for you definitive for sure.
Whatever that word was.
How do you say that? Definitively. Oh, hey, I hate that word.
This is the first on this podcast I actually pronounced something
that I couldn't pronounce. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, touche. But anyways, there's no way we can be sure about that. So, but my guess is they just looked at the photos and say, look through them and say, oh, this is copyrighted. This is copyrighted. Because imagine if you worked at a photo printing place, wouldn't you look at every photo too? I mean, seriously, you got to think about that. Especially you people who send in your nudes, think about that. Anyways, that's my answer. How about you?
Pretty much everything you said there. I don't really think that changing file names would matter. I always change a file name from what it is when I get it from Google Images or wherever I get it from anyway. I think it's just them doing, like I said, quality control. And I'm going to guarantee you that 99.5% of anything that you get off Google or whatever images where you get them from are going to be copyrighted anyway. So it's just whether or not they want to bust you or not. That's pretty much all I've got on that. We'll move on to the last question. It's coming from Jeremy Daniels. This is actually a pretty good question. I know Zane's going to have fun with this one. What was your first ever autograph project /PC, and did you ever finish it? And if you did, how long did it take?
Oh, boy. Okay, well, I've had a few PCs in my life.
Just a few?
Yeah, just a few. And I had trouble trying to think what my first autograph PC was. I know my first PC back when I collected sports cards as a kid was Joe Smith. I had over 1,000 Joe Smith cards. Talk about a gold mine, let me tell you.
Was that just because of his name?
No, it was because he was the number one pick in 1995 for the Warriors, and I figured, you know, he's the number one pick. He's going to, you know, come out of this funk, and he's going to do really hot, and I'm going to have a lot of money on my hands. Never really happened. So I still have 1,000 Joe Smith cards just sitting in a binder somewhere. So anyways, but that's my first PC. My first autographed PC was probably my Topps Fan Favorites PC, which is still going on today. But I started it back in 2003 when the Topps Fan Favorites set came out. I collabed with some guys on Star Tiger. Yes, I was on Star Tiger in 2003. I've been on Star Tiger since 2001. And we found out these cards were amazing for getting autographed. And every single guy in the set was still alive at the time the set came out. Except for Norm Cash. I don't know what the hell they were thinking on that. One guy that died in the 70s, and every other player was alive that they released. Somebody snuck Norm Cash in there, I'm sure, for an inside joke or something. But so we're like, this is the perfect set to try to get graft, man. So I worked on that for a year, and ended up, when I turned 18, I actually moved out of my parents' house right when I turned 18, and I needed money, sold it. I sold my entire Topps Fan Favorites collection, which was like, it wasn't that much, but it was players like Hank Aaron and Buck O'Neill, who sells for pretty high now. Guys that, you know, you can't get now. I sold that entire collection, like 60 or 70 cards, for over $300, like $350, which was quite a bit of money for it, but I regret it so much because I'm so behind on my Topps Fan Favorites set now compared to what I had. I have over 120 now, so I have more cards, but they're more common players, not the big names that I had back then. I had Harmon Killebrew and Phil Rizzuto, so I really regret doing that, but that was probably my first auto PC, because I was pretty young when I started it. So how about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I get a lot of crap about this. I don't really have, a PC. I've never really had any kind of a PC. I mean, like you, back when I used to do trading cards, probably my PC would have been Tony Gwynn back then, so I'm just a huge Padres fan, and he was the one guy that I followed consistently while growing up. But as far as autographed PCs, I've never really had one. I mean, my collecting habits are so all over the board. I get stuck on doing one thing, and then a few months later, I'm off doing a different stuff. So it just that part of it kind of varies. As far as autographed projects, haven't done a lot of that until this past year, which I was doing Project Deja Vu with Mike at the Autograph Network, and I'm doing Project Goat right now with Jeremy Daniels and David Stotler, and those are kind of projects that we'll probably never finish. They're pretty open ended. I've got a couple of things I'm doing this year which I'll hope to finish or get pretty close to finishing. That's my two personal things I'm doing: the Countdown to 1000 and my Project 2012. So those two things, like I said, I'll keep posted on every week when we do the podcast as far as where I'm standing at those. But I'm kind of an odd collector and don't really have, right now, I really don't have a PC or anything like that. So that's what I have on that front. And I think that takes care of
all. That's all the questions for today, so let's go ahead and move on to the discussion roundtable. All right, it's time for the discussion roundtable. We have Stacy Schaefer here. We have Jeremy Daniels. And David Stotler. Today we're going to talk about the status of the autograph community and how it can be built, the pros and the cons. But first, I kind of want to get a go around and ask everybody how they got into the YouTube autograph community, which, of course, we're all a part of. But there are several autograph communities out there. Star Tiger community, tons of forum communities. So, Stacy, how did you get involved in the YouTube autograph community?
I actually started doing videos several years ago. I did them, I think it was during the summer. I don't know. It was probably, it's probably been, 4 or 5 years ago. I think you went back and found some of those old videos I used to do. And I just started doing it. Came across a few people doing the Mail Day recap videos. Back then, it was nothing like today. There was probably a handful, if that. Just started watching those and just like, well, liked watching them, so I just started doing it myself. I did them for, I don't know how many of those old videos there were, probably 2 or 3 months worth maybe, and then just kind of got busy and got out of it, and then started doing it back up again probably the early part of last year, I think. But that's kind of how I got into it. What about you, Jeremy?
Yeah, about the same thing, I started in July, getting into TTMs pretty big, and I like watching videos on YouTube, seeing what people got in, try to give me some ideas of who to write to. So, Zane, Stacy, you guys, and even Bloodspawn, you guys were the first ones I seen watching when I first got into it. And you guys kind of inspired me to start making videos, just took off from there. So, it was a learning experience, and, every day is still a learning experience watching videos. So,
how about you, David?
Yeah, it's the same for me. I used to, I started on Star Tiger way back when I first started collecting, but didn't know about YouTube or anything back then. And then I just started wondering, what else was out there. So I started doing searches on YouTube, and then I found Zane, Stacy, Mike. That was my first three people. I started watching everybody, and then it was after I went to my first Monster Mania convention that I decided, hey, you know what, I'm going to get back into this, and started making videos on here to try to expand, and then basically start watching people's videos to find out more ideas on who to send to and things like that. That's where I first started. Never knew that it would, that I would become a kind of a titan, in the community. I didn't intend for that. I just wanted to get my name out there so I could learn about more and more people that were signing through mail.
Now, what do you guys think the autograph community really brings to a collector? So, compare somebody who's just out there doing TTMs by themselves. Maybe they just have Star Tiger, but they don't check the forums. They just have the addresses, and they sit there and do it, and they don't talk to anybody. They just write their letters. Compared to somebody who's involved in the YouTube autograph community or even in the forums in Star Tiger, what do you think there is to gain from being a part of a community? I'll go to Jeremy first.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot to gain. I mean, you know, just watching videos. I mean, like when I first started off, I didn't talk to anyone. You know, then I started commenting on people's, you know, videos and, you know, like everyone else, oh, where'd you get that address from? And, you know, everyone refers you to Star Tiger. You know, you pay the fee monthly. I pay monthly, so I should pay yearly because I use it all the time. But, you know, you're just talking to people, you get led in the right direction, and it helps you. I mean, Star Tiger's helped me tremendously. I use that 99% of the time when I ain't looking for a private address. And sometimes people post private addresses on there anyways. It's just a matter of just talking to people. And the more you talk to people, the more you're going to get into the hobby. And, you know, it's just going to take off from there. And, you know, it's helpful. And people have been helpful. YouTube's a great community. Everyone's willing to help, you know, when you want it. And, you know, and I just hope it continues like that.
How about you, David? How do you think it affects somebody when they jump into an autograph community? What are the changes they can expect to see?
Well, it's definitely going to be a learning experience. You learn a lot from people that have been doing it. Everybody on here, all the big names have been really helpful when I first started. You know, When I first started, I used to only send a letter of request. That's it. No self-address. I didn't send photos or nothing, and I didn't get back a whole lot. And then seeing Mike and talking to Mike and talking to Stacy and everybody on what they send and how they do it, you know, I picked up and have, you know, become, my collection has become what it is now because they changed the way I did, you know, my format. And, you know, like Jeremy said, you know, you meet new people and you start talking to people just through watching their videos. Next thing you know, you ask them a question, you know, they respond real nicely and everything. So then you guys start talking, like, then it becomes outside of YouTube, you know, like we all pretty much hear text back and forth and stuff like that, even if it's not autograph related. Like Steve, Purple GT, I'll be meeting him in Monster Mania. That'll be the first time we meet and hang out. So, like, I'm building, like, friends outside of the autograph community, but it's basically because of the autograph community.
Right. I think a big part of it also is whenever you have all these people coming together for a common hobby or cause, you learn the best way to do things out of these people. So, like you said, you find things that you didn't even think about before. You're like, oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that. And that helps you grow your collection. And eventually you got a super pack of people that are just kicking butt on TTMs and autograph collecting in general. So, Stacy, how do you think the joining an autograph community really helps you develop as a collector?
Well, using YouTube as an example, it's just a huge, huge asset. I mean, it's that kind of a tool. It's a motivational tool. Watching videos, seeing what people get in, it gives yourself ideas of who to send to. And just as somebody new, it's actually seeing somebody get that in the mail and actually seeing the item in the video. I mean, it's, like I said, it's motivation to keep sending stuff out and keep going at it. I think that's one of the biggest assets for as far as the YouTube community.
I totally agree on that point. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed this too, but like if I'm slacking on TTMs and I go to the videos one day to watch, because all of us are hooked to autographs, so we might pretty much all watch the videos every day or as much as we can. And you see somebody get in a huge name, that just boosts your confidence to go out there and write like 50 TTMs that day to try to get that mailbox full, because you know that feeling of having a full mailbox and how great it feels. And it's just kind of a motivation to keep on going and keep on collecting and keep on, you know, putting hard work into the hobby. Last question about autograph collecting and the community. Are there any negatives to the hobby? Anything that... yeah, you can join the autograph community, and it's got a lot of great things, but there is this one thing. Go to David first.
I can't honestly really think of any negatives as far as, like, the community. It just seems all helpful. I mean, I've seen and I've actually been part of drama and stuff on through YouTube, but it was never autograph-related. It was actually, like, the card community that got that started.
Well, and, I didn't mean to interrupt you here, but the card community is a lot more developed on YouTube than the autograph community is. Autograph community has really only been around about a year and a half. Card community has been on YouTube for many years. So as those relationships grow, you got people that are rivals and stuff like that pops up. But
well, if I had to think of one, you know, it would be, and it's also, I mean, it's more towards private addresses, but even just normal ones, man, is like, you know, when you got that guy who all of a sudden pops up, you know, as a, you know, a Star Tiger, there's a success from him or something like that, and then you know, everybody's going to send to that person within the next week. So, you know, they burn out, or you burn that private address out, or just you start writing, everybody, you know, writes to Morgan Freeman all at once. You know, somebody's not going to get them back because he's not just going to sign a billion of them all of a sudden.
Exactly.
So that's about the only downfall of the whole community is once you get that success and you show it in your mail day or you post it, the success of Star Tiger, you're putting out there for anybody who's watching or reading to send to that guy now.
That's a really good point. All right, Jeremy, how about you? Any negatives to joining a community?
No, I'm going to have to agree with Spawn. You know, I think, like I said, there's not many negatives. The community's real, you know, it's a good community. Not, you know, everyone gets along. But, you know, I think when it comes to private addresses, some people, it just rubs them the wrong way, I guess. You know, it happens on my videos, and I'm sure it happens on your guys, because I read the comments, you know, oh, where'd you get that private address from? And people just start flooding your PM, and then when you don't tell them, they just start getting pissed, and they just start thumb down in your, giving you a thumbs down in your videos. I mean, I don't know. I think that's the only negative here, and you know, you put the hard work into getting that private address. It's a touchy subject. And
the best advice I can give to people on private addresses, okay? And I've found a ton of private addresses. I know Jeremy's found a bunch, and David and Stacy's found some before. Find a group of friends in the community that you trust, and you have to trust these people, because if you're going to trade private addresses with them, you got to know there's a chance for them to get out there if you're going to give them up to somebody. But find a group of people you trust and form a little team and go out and find private addresses and share with one another. But the reason that they're so private is because we don't want them ruined. And when you post them to somewhere like Star Tiger, or even talk about them on a video, you know, we make videos and, you know, over 100 people watch our videos every day, just daily video. Those people are all collectors. And if they all write to that one person, especially if they're not a huge star, then that person's going to get overwhelmed and maybe shut down. So that's what we don't want to happen. So, you know, if you want to do private addresses, do the research yourself. If you're not very good at it, form a group and try to get better at it. You know, everything can't be given to you in this world. Stacy, any negatives to joining an autograph community?
I just only have a couple, and I'll go on about the private address. All I'm going to say is that private address means it's a private address. If that person wants you to have the address, he'll give it to you. The other thing is just being patient. Inboxes get flooded with questions and people that want address requests and all this stuff. It's people don't tend to be very patient, because if you don't answer them in a day, you get another message, and then they start to get all up in your face about not giving information or not answering the message or whatever. People just got to realize that people have lives and have responsibilities outside of being answering all the YouTube questions. I mean, I'm bad at it. I'll admit that. I mean, I try to answer everybody, but it's just like I don't have time to sit there and go through every single inbox request I get, and most of them are going to be for addresses. And I mean, I usually don't, I don't have a whole lot of problem getting that stuff out as long as it's not a private address or if I got it off somewhere where, but like I said, that's the only other big thing is just people need to be patient with us and other people in the community as far as getting back to them.
I think it's another good point that, like, you should realize that, like me, I have a lot of time on my hands now. So I shouldn't expect that since I have a lot of time on my hands, everybody else has a lot of time on their hands. It doesn't work that way. You know, a lot of people in the communities, any community, like I said, you'd be YouTube, a Star Tiger, a forum. These people have lives outside of autograph collecting, and you got to respect those lives. You can't just expect their 24/7 attention. So, yeah, that was a good discussion, guys. I appreciate you guys tuning in and or chiming in on your opinions. Definitely, I would say joining a group strengthens you as a collector. And it doesn't have to be the YouTube community. If you don't like being on camera and you can't stand it, then that's obviously not your thing. But I really urge everybody to at least find a forum group to be in. Or if you can afford it, Star Tiger. It's a great place to be. The forums can be a little rough on Star Tiger, but you know, just be mindful of what you're saying and try to be as intelligent as possible. That's as much advice as I can give you on Star Tiger. Like I said, they're rough, but it's an overall positive thing. It can really help you out as a collector. All right, it's giveaway time. Time to announce the winner for last week's contest for a George Kell signed index card. And the winner is Dennis St. Laurent. Congratulations. This week, well, I'm throwing some nice stuff in the mix. I was trying to figure out what to give away on this show, and I ran across a few things. I'm giving away 5 certified autograph cards. The names are Robert Picardo, Jeffrey Combs, Rob Freeman, Tyler Posey, and John Novak. These are all actors, and these are all on Inkwork cards. So I'm going to post pictures on the website so you guys can see what I'm talking about. These are really nice cards that are actually uncirculated, so they have the sticker keeping them in the actual top loader, so they've not been touched by human hands, which is pretty awesome. So you get 5 autographs this week if you win the contest. Again, to enter the contest, all you need to do is go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/autographweekly and enter the keyword that was hidden in today's show. Just post that on our wall and you're automatically entered to win the contest. Simple as that. So guys, get to your keyboards and enter the contest. Now, Collector of the Month. We did not do this last month because of the holidays, but it is back. So next week, we're going to be picking a Collector of the Month. Now you're thinking, how the hell do I enter Collector of the Month? Well, here's what we've come up with. You need to either post a video showing off your best autographs that you got in January and December, since we skipped the end of December, the month of December we skipped. We're going to go ahead and include December and January in this contest. So, make a video showing the best autographs you got in December and January to enter the contest. Or, if you don't have access to video, take pictures of the autographs you got in December and January. But you have to include, if it is a picture, you have to include your name somewhere in the picture. So, have a little card next to it saying, if your name is John Smith, have it say John Smith. Just so we know that it's you and you're not just pulling pictures off the internet. So that's how you guys can enter this contest. Again, you have this entire week to enter. We will pick a winner on Thursday next week. So you have a little less. You have about 5 days to enter. But you can get that done in 5 days. It's not asking too much. Again, the winner of the Collector of the Month wins either $20 in stamps, Star Tiger subscription, $20 in Wink Flash photos, or what was the other one? There was something
eBay.
Else. eBay, $20 eBay credit. So if you guys want free money, basically, you can enter this contest, and the best collector for the month, or in this case 2 months, will win the prize. If you are doing photos and you can't do a video, try to impress us, because you know, video is always better. You know, it's easier for us to understand what you got in and for you to talk about it. If you're doing a picture, write a paragraph or something telling all the stuff you got in. Do multiple pictures, whatever. You can send that to our email at autographweekly@gmail.com, or you can post it on our Facebook wall at facebook.com/autographweekly. So that's how Collector of the Month is going to work, guys. And that's going to be a monthly thing. So you can look forward to that at the end of every single month from here on out. So be getting ready for that at the end of every month. All right. And the last thing I want to talk about on the giveaway front is, Stacy, I believe you are doing some Facebook giveaways now. So let's talk about that.
All right. That is correct. I'm relaunching the Facebook giveaway on our Facebook page. So just every day, make sure you're checking out our Facebook page. Like I said, the last couple of weeks, I'm not going to promise that it's going to be every single day. If I've, as long as I've got the time and nothing comes up, I'll make sure I'll get something up thrown up there to give away. So it's been going again since I think I launched again this past Tuesday, and it's been going over really well again. We've had, like, the first day was over 30 people commenting and getting in, and the last couple of days has been over 20. So it's just pretty simple. Just check out what I post. It's basically just answering a question or giving an opinion on a question that I pose, with the usually related to the autograph I give away. So,
all right, and let's move on to Graph of the Week. Stacy, who won this week?
All right, that would be Zane.
Zane Savage.
It's actually a pretty close, though. We haven't had too many of these that have been actually fairly close. Usually they're pretty lopsided, but this week was pretty close. Zane won with Boss Hog 797's Terry Bradshaw. I believe that was an autographed book for, what was that, like $7?
$7.
And he got 13 votes for that, so 59% of the vote for that. Mine was a TTM success that the Autograph Network got on Andrew Card, and that got 9 votes for 41%. So Zane with another victory in Graph of the Week, and we will move on to our nominations for this week. And who does Zane have this week?
Zane has Zane. I'm nominating myself because it's a pretty weak autograph the week. I looked through the videos, and you guys got some good stuff, but, you know, I got Betty Ford, man, for $10. I didn't see any autographs that beat Betty Ford for $10, so I'm nominating myself, Zane Savage. Zane Savage nominating Zane Savage. Beat that, Stacy Schaefer. Who you got?
Well, it's not going to be myself, so anyway, I don't think I got anything that could even come close to competing with that anyway, but I'm going to nominate Boss Hog 797 and hopefully try to compete. I don't think I'm going to, though. But this is Spike Lee. He got an autographed book from Spike Lee this past week for $8 shipped. So that is what I'm going to put up against Betty Ford. So
bring it.
I'll see how the chips fall.
All right, guys. To vote on Graph of the Week, all you got to do is go to our website, autographweekly.com. On the right, you'll see a little poll. Click who you vote for. Click submit. And you've done it. You voted. Congratulations. It's as easy as that. So get your little fingers a typing, and a vote for Zane Savage. All right, guys, that's the end of our show today. Remember to rate and comment on iTunes to boost our ratings so more people listen to us so they have eargasms. And that's really it. So, all right, guys, I'm Zane Savage.
I'm Stacy Schaefer. As always, stay classy.
And you take care, all of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.